He had left home 20 years earlier. During the time, he goes to war against the Trojans, and he comes with this ingenious idea to use a wooden horse to infiltrate the city. But his journey home became a story all its own. It took him overseas, through the underworld, to people and places whose names you know, even if you don't realize they come from this story. He had to escape capture of a nymph. He blinds a cyclops, angers a cyclops' father, Poseidon, ends up shipwrecked for it. He navigates between this six-headed monster called Scylla and this deadly whirlpool called Charybdis. And finally, he stops up the ears of his crew, ties himself to the mast so they won't heed the siren's call. Homer's Odyssey tells a story of Odysseus's journey home. But home can be an elusive thing. When he finally gets home to Ithaca, it had been 20 years, which means the little boy he left behind was now a man, which means his wife hadn't seen her husband in 2 decades, nor had his kingdom seen its king. So if you know the story, he dresses himself like a beggar. He goes home to see how things are going. And when he gets there, he finds over 100 guys eating his food, drinking his wine, and trying to win the hand of his wife. In order to get his home back, he has to shoot an arrow through 12 axe heads. He's got to go to war with these suitors, and he has to pass this test of his wife to finally win her trust once more. For 3,000 years, people have been telling that story. Around ancient Greek campfires, they got together and they told the story of Odysseus's journey home. And even though it's from a different place and a different time, it has left its fingerprints all over our culture. Because you knew the story of the Trojan horse, and I bet you've heard of the siren's call. Because the words like Cyclops and Poseidon, they're not new names to you. If you've ever used the word mentor, you're using the word of Odysseus's son's advisor. But it's not just that this story has made its way into our nomenclature. We keep telling the same story. Do you remember the movie Castaway? In the movie Castaway, Tom Hanks' character is marooned on a desert island, and he desperately fights for years to get back to his home and to his fiance. And if you remember, when he finally gets back, what does he find? Home is elusive. People had moved on. His fiance had married another man. There's a movie called Interstellar that featured Matthew McConaughey. And if you remember the movie, he travels through the universe, far and wide, goes through a black hole and a time warp, all to get back home to his 12-year-old daughter. This is his homecoming. He is the same age he was when he left, and his daughter is now in her 90s and on her deathbed. He's home. He's even surrounded by his grandkids and his great-grandkids, but none of them know him. We keep telling these kinds of stories over and over again because home is a funny concept. On the one hand, we all have one. We all came from somewhere. And on Mother's Day, we have a chance to thank God for the blessings we get in our homes, especially from our moms. And if you had that kind of a God-fearing mom that you looked up to, then you appreciated the advice and the encouragement, the way that she was always by your side. But you know, home is also elusive. Even if you had the best upbringing you can imagine, anyone who's ever left home understands that. Because you know what it's like to come back home after a time and how everything is the same and everything is different all at the same time. And if you stayed at home, you saw that too, because you remember this used to be that and that used to be there. You might even still give directions with landmarks that don't even exist anymore. Because even if you stay home, home still changes. And if you didn't have that kind of a picture-perfect home growing up, But home can become a concept you chase, that you desperately try to recreate. And even if you manage to recreate it, it does not stay that way, because they don't stay little forever. Home is a funny thing. We all have one. And yet it is so elusive. When John 14, the disciples feel like they're losing home. Because even though it hadn't even been 4 years, they had found something like that in Jesus. And it wasn't just that he was a perfect teacher and the perfect mentor and the perfect friend. It's that he was the Holy One of God. And whether or not they could put their finger upon it, he was the one that they were created to live in harmony with way back in the Garden of Eden when we were made in God's image. And their family was falling apart. In the days and weeks leading up to this, Jesus kept talking about his trial, his suffering, his crucifixion, and his death. That night, he talks about how Peter would deny him, how they would all abandon him, and how Judas would betray him. That night, their family was coming apart. And Jesus can read the room. And so he points them and us to our home. A home that will not be taken from us, that he will prepare for us. And here's what he says in John 14. Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God. Believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I'm going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I'm going. Jesus tells them he is leaving. He tells them he is preparing a place for them. He tells them he is coming back for them, and he will take them to be where he is. In the meantime, he says, trust me. Because home is elusive. But Jesus is not. Now, the disciples have questions. And their questions are our questions. Thomas asks Jesus, Lord, we don't know where you're going. So how can we know the way? It's not that Thomas doubted that Jesus was going to do what he said. But he wanted to know, how do I know? How do I know that when you're getting all these places ready, you're going to remember me? How do I know that when you come back for me, you're not going to lose me in the shuffle? How do I know that I will find my way there? How do I know? You can get lost answering that question. You can try to answer that question with your achievements, and you will never achieve enough. You can try to answer that question with your service and being good, and you'll never be good enough or be able to do enough. You can answer that question by not answering it, and it will not stay silent. Because there is only one answer. Jesus says, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really know me, you'll know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. How do you know, Jesus says? Because I am the way. And he bound himself to us in the waters of our baptism. How do we know? Because Jesus doesn't just speak the truth, he is the truth. And he is the one who made you promise after promise that he will not break, because to break them would be to deny himself. How do we know? Because Jesus isn't just alive. He is life, the source of it, who laid his life down so you could live with him too. We know. Because we have Jesus. And then Philip, he asks another question or statement that I think reflects questions we ask as well. He says, Lord, show us the Father, and that'll be enough for us. Do you see what he wants? He just wants one more thing. And he had already seen so much. He had seen Jesus raise several people from the dead. He had watched Jesus heal sick person after sick person, chase out demon after demon. He sat there in the boat when Jesus calmed the storm, and he watched him walk on water. He had seen plenty. But he still doubted. With all he saw, those doubts persisted, and he told himself all he needed was one more thing. Just like we tell ourselves, if God would just solve this one extra problem, take care of this one sickness, answer this one prayer, give me this one experience, do this one thing for me, then my doubts would disappear. And do you know the problem with that question? It's a misdiagnosis of the issue. We don't doubt because there's something wrong with God or the evidence. We doubt because there's something wrong with a sinful heart that will always doubt every promise God makes. The answer, Jesus says, is Him. He says, "Don't you know me, Philip, even after I've been among you such a long time? Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Don't you believe that I'm in the Father and that the Father is in me? The words I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing his work. Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or at least believe on the evidence of the works themselves." The answer to our doubts is the same Jesus has always been there. The Jesus that called them to be disciples, the Jesus that brought you to the faith, the Jesus who would present himself alive after his resurrection, the Jesus who presents himself to you every time you read his word. He is the answer to our doubts. Not one more thing. Now, it's easy to pile on the disciples. But like I said before, I think they're just asking the questions we ask. And we ask those questions because we're all on the same journey. Do you remember what the Bible calls us? It says we're foreigners, aliens, strangers in a strange land. We are like Odysseus on a journey. No matter what your life looks like, you are not home yet. I mean, you can have the best Mother's Day in the world. You can have mom make those pizza burgers you liked or that corn casserole, but the dinner's not going to last forever. You can have traditions you do every single year, but at some point you start celebrating those traditions in nursing homes and later in graveyards. You can recreate the home you always wanted your kids to have, but they will not stay little forever. Home is an elusive thing. But Jesus is not elusive. There's a reason we read John 14 at funeral after funeral. There's a reason we know these words well, because this is a picture of your home. And as you read these words, what's the picture that comes to your mind? Jesus says, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God. Believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I'm going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I'm going." Do you picture some old Victorian hotel with long hallways and room after room? Or one of those old country estates with thousands upon thousands of acres? Or did you picture the room you had when you were a kid? Whatever it is you pictured, it is not nearly as important as what Jesus says he's going to do, what he did do. Because he went to prepare a place for you 2,000 years ago. And that doesn't mean he put sheets on the bed and fluffed the pillows. It meant he went to the cross where he paid the price of your admission. And he walked out of the tomb where he trailblazed a way out of the tomb for you. And he ascended into heaven to guide all things for you and to find you, so he could come back for you. He came to you in the waters of your baptism. He made you his own there. He has come to you every time you've heard God's word spoken, every time you've read it, every time you've sung it. He has come to you every time you've received Holy Communion. And when the time is right, when your time to leave this world arrives, there he'll be. You'll close your eyes to this world, and his face will be the first face you see. And when he comes back on the last day, he will raise these bodies, and he'll take us home. In the meantime, he says, hold on to this, because while home is elusive, Jesus is not. You know, home can be a tricky concept. When people ask me where I'm from, I'm never really sure what to say, because I was born in western Wisconsin, moved to Minnesota, moved to Milwaukee, moved to Manitowoc, moved back to Milwaukee, moved to Nebraska, moved to Minnesota, moved to Milwaukee, moved to Tennessee, to Milwaukee, to Colorado, to Tennessee, and now here we are. Where am I from? I have no idea. But you know, I think if I would have stayed in the same place my whole life, I think you end up in the same place, don't you? All the things that make home home, the sights, the sounds, the smells, the places, and especially the people, they are great blessings of God, but they do not last. Because the Bible's right, we aren't home yet. But we have a home. A home that God chose you for before eternity, and a home that Jesus prepared for you 2,000 years ago. A home that when the time is right, he will take you to be in. And when the day comes and we leave this home behind, we'll open our eyes and we'll see what it means to be at home in Christ. Amen.
Thanks for listening to Emmanuel's Sermon Podcast. If you'd like to learn more about Emmanuel, you can follow us on Facebook or visit us at imluth.org. That's immlut.org. Have a great day.